Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Miami. South Beach. Funky Buddha happy hour. It is the 5 o'clock hour, even though we're a couple minutes away from 5 o'clock, but it is the Funky Buddha happy hour on Hockman and Crowder, maybe our favorite hour of the program.
I knocked down about 20 on Sunday.
Were you fishing?
Oh, I was fishing. I had a graveyard of Hopgun cans.
I was just showing Crowder. We're going to have John Clayton on here in a moment. I got to get to headlines too, but I was just showing Crowder. The Miami Dolphins tweeted out some video today of the joint practice with the Bucks, and Preston Williams, he jukes out, I don't know who the poor guy is from Tampa, twice made him fall down on one route.
On the line of scrimmage and then
dude got up and tried to catch back up to him, good for him, and then he got juked out of his pants again.
Preston Williams is going to be something.
I feel like, and again, you can't do it after one preseason game, but man, what you see from this guy is just ridiculous.
Route running, catch radius, what he does up in the air, like what he did in the air against the Falcons. Whoever's sitting underneath him, he'll be able to do that still. I don't care who that is.
We had Aronde Gadsden and O.J. McDuffie, both, you know, great receivers in their day on yesterday, and they both were like, yeah, this kid – like, he looks like he's got the real deal working there.
Yeah. Running backs running against third string. Linebackers, I don't evaluate that. You can look at a receiver in wide open space, one-on-one out there, and see what he got. I think Preston's going to be – there's a chance he's the leading receiver for the Dolphins this season.
Wow.
Watch.
Look at that. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Before we connect with John Clayton, let us get some headlines here with Alejandro Solana on the simulcast.
Headlines, as always, are brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Hawk said it last segment that Ryan Fitzpatrick, as of now, will be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins this Friday when they take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We can get John Clayton's take on that momentarily.
The Marlins will kick off a three-game series versus the LA Dodgers tonight at Marlins Park. Friend of the show, Jordan Yamamoto, gets the nod for the Fish. And College Game Day, as we spoke about earlier, will be at Magic Kingdom when UM kicks off the college football season, taking on Crowder's Gators on August 24th.
I just saw a graphic, too, from College Game Day. They've like, Disney-fied the graphics. So College Game Day is written in, like, the Disney font. I don't know. I don't like it. And I happen to like Disney World, but I just something about College Game Day, especially for the first week. Like, I don't know. Go ahead. What else you got, Solana?
I mean, had they made it at Epcot, then maybe. But,
right, yeah, good point.
And finally... And finally, rapper Cardi B posted a Twitter last week saying she doesn't trust people who refrigerate their ketchup.
Yeah, you know, I saw that. I refrigerate my ketchup.
I think it's on the bottle to refrigerate your damn ketchup.
I think it says upon opening.
It turns brown and dark
red. I think it would get vinegary because there's vinegar in ketchup. Yeah. Like, I think it would get rancid.
Yeah, I'm okay with Cardi B, but that's dumb as hell, Cardi.
I'm okay with her, too, but I'm just saying the ketchup. Is there weather?
There is some weather.
Okay.
Brought to you by Hialeah Park. Today's forecast in Miami will continue to be partly cloudy well into the night. There is only a 70% chance.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
You won't experience rain today in South Florida.
I hate people that put hot sauce in the refrigerator.
It is a, I think you're supposed to refrigerate that as well, no?
That's what I thought about when I got on Cardi B. Hot sauce doesn't need it. It doesn't have to be refrigerated.
No.
Because that has vinegar in it as well.
Yeah, but it's not. It's just different, man. I hate hot, cold hot sauce. It just it
Solana,
sound
do you have
right
anything else
it.
To add in?
No, that's it.
Okay, get John Clayton on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do that.
That's now?
And we're waiting for him to be done so that he could call. So we didn't have John Clayton wait through all this stuff. And now I'm doing Cardi B impersonations.
You got one?
What about peanut butter? You keep peanut butter in the fridge or in the cabinet?
Cabinet. That's why peanut butter is so great, and that's why they took it on the ships back in the day, because it doesn't spoil.
I was always brought up keeping it in the fridge.
Really?
And then when I got married, my wife was like, why are you putting that in the fridge? It makes it harder to spread.
Yeah.
And you keep it, and I always, and so now we keep it in the cabinet.
But it's like the greatness of peanut butter.
Right. You can keep it for years. Like, there's no, I don't think there's any spoilage on a peanut butter. You get that little oil on the top of it, depending on how fresh the peanut butter actually is. Did you get John Clayton on the line there, Alejandro?
I did, yeah.
All right. Why'd you turn my microphone off?
He messed up.
Why would you turn my microphone off?
I just pressed the wrong button. I apologize.
Sports contributing columnist John Clayton for the Washington Post, who also hosts a radio show on ESPN in Seattle, who's probably doesn't get his microphone turned off by his producer. He is joining us right now on Hockman and Crowder. Hello, John.
Well, what'd you do in the last segment got him to turn it off? Did you do something bad?
Do you do the show out of a studio, or do you do your show out of your house?
Out of the house, although at least, you know, about 3-4 times a week I'm over at the Seahawks, because actually it's within walking distance, and so my show goes the same time they practice from 10 to 12. And so, like today, I was over there for practice and, watching the team and seeing what they are and all the good thing about that.
Yeah, I wonder, do you ever get your microphone turned off by your producer, you know, whether you're doing the show at the facility or at your house or whatever? Like, I mean, generally, you'd probably get more respect than that, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's the great part of it, because, you know, when training camp isn't going on, everything's going to be in the house on an ISDN line, and there's really no microphone to turn off. Like, there's no cough button or anything else. It's straight into the ISDN, so it's like, I guess I'm never turned off.
And,
I'm always turned on.
And you don't even need to stare at your producer in his face all day long like we're forced to. It's really the worst part
of
the job.
Yeah, but you got to understand, my producer, Maura Dooley, is a 5'11 former model, so it's like I don't mind. In fact, I don't get to be around her too much because she's always down in the studio. I'm here at the house. So, but it's like I take it that he's not a 5'11 former model.
No,
is
he's
correct?
A 5'11 former male. So you wrote
male?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the microphone went off.
Yeah, I don't have time. So John Clayton wrote in the Washington Post today, and you can go to WashingtonPost.com. I happen to love their sports coverage. You wrote about the NFL and preseason games, because we were talking pretty much all day long about Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen and how you navigate, you know, having a 15-year veteran with having a second-year rookie, and would you start Ryan Fitzpatrick this Friday? Dolphins have a preseason game against the Bucs, and Brian Flores today pretty much said Fitzpatrick will start. Your whole notion in the column you wrote today for the Washington Post is you got to cut down on preseason games because the quarterbacks aren't even playing.
No, 17 quarterbacks, and again, I'm including Joe Flacco in week one because that was in the Hall of Fame game. He didn't play, but 17 coaches elected not to play their quarterbacks in the first game, and nobody among the starting quarterbacks played more than three series. Most of them all played one series, and then you see the number of players that didn't even play. I mean, half the league took the position. It's like, we're going to treat the first preseason game like the fourth, and we're hardly even going to play any starters. And so that's where you can see the signs, not financially, but in reality. I mean, what are you doing? And then, of course, you risk injury. And that's the thing that I think is the mounting total, because, you know, you get an injured player, let's say waived injured. I mean, the waiver wire just came out. There's probably about 4 or 5 waived injured players. Well, I mean, you're accumulating, you know, more than $1 million, $2 million of guys that are going to be hurt there. And so are you really gaining something? Sure, the coaches love having the extra practices. Is hard enough to get their team ready for a regular season, but the collateral damage right now, and the way coaches are starting to, you know, not use their players, you can see it's time for change.
And John, we assume it's money. The players all assume it's just money. They want us to play for $250 a game and still sell tickets for normal price. What's the NFL's argument when they do go to the table about shortening the preseason?
Well, you can understand the commissioner's in the same boat. He doesn't like the preseason. He'd rather see it go down to two, but also he would want to see the regular season go up to 18, 17, something that they can add to it so they're not going to lose the money. I totaled up, you know, if you go with the 106 average price of a ticket league-wide and 67.6 sold, you're talking $299 per week, $2 million per week for the 32 teams. You know, that's a significant chunk, and that doesn't include sponsorships. It doesn't include luxury suites and all that. So you're probably talking about they've got to make up 700 to a million to $1 billion. They can do that with the extra game. I mean, they make big money if they were able to get the 17th week or the 18th week, but you know the players aren't going to do that.
Unless they get their fair share.
Well, they'll get their fair share. I mean, it's at the very least 47. I think they're asking for 50 right now. But, what's going on is that you still have stadium credits because the league wants to return to the stadium credits they overspent in the last CBA. And so I think they'll come to some agreement on that. But, the preseason really does need to go down to two games. That's what most teams are doing right now, only playing their guys like about five, six quarters.
Sports contributing columnist John Clayton from the Washington Post is with us. We've talked a lot of Dolphins today and Miami Hurricanes, so I want to ask you a couple NFL questions since you are the professor. Kyler Murray, Crowder and I marveled at this. Like Kyler Murray, we saw a video of him over the weekend, and he ran out on the field with his teammates, and I hadn't really realized just how small he is until he ran out with a bunch of NFL players. Do you think he's going to make it?
I do. I was so encouraged by what I saw on the game the other night because, and again, you hear it in practice too. He's in control. I mean, it's funny, at the combine, he measured 5'10 and 3/8, where it's like 5'8, I think it was 5'10 and a quarter. And then, here he was like about a few days later, he was at the NFL premiere or something like that. And he was standing next to a guy that was like 5'8 and he looked shorter. So it's like, okay, did he stretch out to get to the 5'10"? But as Russell Wilson has proven, you can now be 5'10 and be successful. And what you look at, there's so many similarities to what he can do like Russell Wilson. He can run around. He can make throws. He looks poised when he's at least standing in the shotgun trying to run things. I mean, he's smart. He's accurate. He's got a great arm. I questioned at the start because I thought maybe that Dwayne Haskins was going to be the better quarterback in this draft. I think it's pretty clear right now from what we're seeing in the early stages, even though he had a bad practice yesterday, that this guy, Kyler Murray, is for real.
And, John, what's going on with Andrew Luck? Now there's something about a bone injury. He had the shoulder where he couldn't throw an NFL ball. He was throwing high school balls. What's going on with Andrew Luck right now? Because Ursay confused me this morning.
Well, he did, but of course what he did is he took a calf injury that's kept him out of just about everything so far and made it sound worse because he said there's a bone problem that's in there with the calf. And of course, with the references that have been out there to Kevin Durant and the references that have been out there to Achilles injuries and everything else, what you wonder about is that, and again, this is probably too serious because he's going to be able to play. He did well last year despite, didn't have the strength totally in the shoulder at the beginning of the season. But what you wonder about is there's some kind of a little knot right next to the Achilles. That's a problem. I saw Doug Peterson at the owners meeting and Doug was on crutches. And what Doug did is I said, what happened? It's like, well, I had an Achilles problem from before and there's a little bone spur, a couple bone spurs in there. And so then he had to have surgery on it. Something very similar to what Eric Berry has gone through. Eric's not out there right now. So it's probably not to that degree, but Jim Irsay made it sound a little bit more urgent and bad compared to what everybody thought it was, but just a calf muscle injury.
Has Antonio Brown found his helmet?
Not yet. Nope. In fact, if you can go get one for him, a 9-year-old helmet from the same company, he's looking for it. And of course, if I'm that company, can't you go into storage and see if you can get a 9-year-old helmet? Only thing is, the longer he plays, he's going to have to change that helmet every year. So instead of the 10-year helmet, he wants the 9-year helmet. So he's reached out to social media and tried to get everybody to get the help on that. I don't know. He still has to get the laser stuff to fix the frostbite on his feet. But, right now from head to toe, things aren't going too well.
Hey, John, is AB changing? Did Mike Tomlin keep him under wraps? Did John Gruden can't deal with him? Like, what's going on with Antonio Brown, big picture?
I think he's just – he's been getting this way each year and kind of getting a little bit more out there. I mean, you go back a couple years ago. I mean, because remember, when you have Antonio Brown on your team, you don't have a player. You have a team because he has a nutritionalist. He has people that, you know, social media people, and I'm talking plural, that he pays to go around with him. And if you remember, I think he had won the Facebook thing when Mike Tomlin was talking after the game and doing his post-game speech. He put that out, and then, of course, he then grew to hate Ben Roethlisberger. Then he quit at halftime of one of the games. It's like it's getting worse and worse. And then, you know, here he comes in, and, you know, he makes the mistake of getting the footies on and getting his feet frozen and getting blisters. And then he's so upset about the helmet, he stays away from the team. I mean, he's had no training camp. All he's been out there for is one practice run where he couldn't cut because of the bad blisters on his feet, and nobody knows for sure what day he's going to be able to start to practice. But yeah, he just keeps getting a little bit more out there each year.
It'll be very interesting to watch what transpires in Oakland this season. John Clayton, he's a columnist for the Washington Post. We love talking to you. And on the way out here, a couple of quickies. Do you remember Kenny Rogers Roasters?
Yeah.
That was good food, wasn't it?
It was good food, yeah. I mean, I like Kenny Rogers.
You're cutting out at the most important time of the interview. We're losing you.
Oh, no, I'm not cutting out, am I?
Yeah, a little bit. It might be our producer. It might be our producer.
He turned the mic off is what happened.
Yeah, that's what he does. You remember Kenny Rogers Roasters, it's the wood that makes it good.
Is the producer a big fan of country? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I can't figure out whether he's coming or going sometimes. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, that was released today in theaters in 1982. Would you agree that is a cinematic masterpiece?
Absolutely, 100%. Because, I mean, some of those, they seem to just carry all through the years. And that movie carried through the years. I mean, you saw those stars are still kind of stars from back then. They were young, but no, that was a classic movie.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My radio partner here, Channing Crowder, doesn't seem to see the merits in Fast Times at Ridgemont High or Phoebe Cates, which is patently absurd, John.
That is bad. That's not good.
Yeah, it's bad.
I got John's back. I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, John's on my side on Kenny Rogers Roasters and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Thank you.
No, the food was better than the music before you liked him. But that's like, I liked him and all the different things you do acting-wise and all that. But the country, I just not big on country.
But the music has lasted. Kenny Rogers Roasters did not.
No, you're right about that. I mean, in my eyes, the Roasters would have blasted one of the country songs.
Now, at least
in to see what condition my condition is.
At least we could hear you when you were talking about Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That was my most important thing. Your phone was cutting out. Thank you, John.
Hey, thank you.
John Clayton, he writes for the Washington Post. You can go to washingtonpost.com. He knows everything. So I know I'm right about Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I don't know.
I know I'm right.
He's just always working. Maybe
he knows.
Man.
No, Jack.
He casually watched Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
He knows, Jack. You can read his stuff. Washington Post, washingtonpost.com. Brady Quinn, he's fun. He's going to talk to us in the next segment. I actually want to talk to him about Jaren Williams and the stage that he's going to have to perform on.
That's what Brady was.
Yeah,
Brady was
freshman,
a puppy.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brady Quinn, a friend of the program. Before we get to him, always a lot going on at the Cheetah. You can reserve a table now for this Saturday, UFC 241. Watch it live in full sound at Cheetah Hallandale and their sports lounge. Sports lounge like no other. Gorgeous ladies, HD TVs, projector screens, leather couch seating. Saturday, UFC 241. You want to watch it there. Got to mark your calendars as well. Wednesday, August 28th, couple weeks away, celebrate with Cheetah Hallandale Beach. It's their once upon a time anniversary party. Enjoy a complimentary buffet day and night. Open bar 8 till 9. Bar tab giveaways, platinum VIP card giveaways, drink specials, and more. That's August 28th at Cheetah Hallandale. And of course, football's back. We've been talking about it ad nauseum. You can enjoy preseason football all the action, girls and beer, and enjoy all the games with hundreds of beautiful, exotic referee and cheerleader adult entertainers at Cheetah Hallandale's ultra-high-tech sports lounge. Watch the games live in full sound while you enjoy the coldest beer in town. Complimentary gourmet lunch till 3, happy hour specials until 6. I always remind you, too, got to make Cheetah Hallandale your free lunch hotspot. Why would you pay for lunch with an unpleasant view? You can enjoy a gourmet lunch menu for free every day, 11:30 till 3, happy hour till 6. In the Biz Guest, by the way, you can enjoy 25% off your entire bar tab, $100 bottle specials, and free admission Sundays through Tuesdays. So that is tonight. If you want more info, check out their website, which is cheetahsofl.com. Going to talk some Hurricanes football and some Dolphins football with Brady Quinn next on Hockman and Crowder. You know, I don't know if Solana knows, but Brady Quinn's music is Nickelback. I didn't make you aware of that, Solana. Did you not know Brady Quinn? He likes to be introduced with some Nickelback.
I did not know that. It's weird because I have a strict no Nickelback policy on the show.
Right, and we thought we were goofing on him when we first started doing it, and then we found out he used to party with Nickelback. Because, I mean, Brady Quinn's a rock star. And, yeah, he used to party with Nickelback. And he will not allow Nickelback slander, by the way, on the show. So you take that somewhere else, Solana. You take that somewhere else.
Brady ain't no little dude either, Solana.
Yeah,
now,
no.
Don't try him.
Brady will take you down to Chinatown.
I don't know what that means.
Brady Quinn is one of the few people from Notre Dame I actually like. He was a Heisman Trophy finalist in 2006. He was a first-round draft choice by the Cleveland Browns, and now he is a broadcaster all over and a college football analyst all over the world of football. There's not a channel he's not on. I've seen him on Nat Geo doing a college football game.
Narrating a cheetah family.
And he's heavily involved in charitable endeavors as well with his Third and Goal Foundation, and he is with us now. Hello, Brady.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I got to tell you, this may be my last time calling in if there's not going to be better intro music.
Yeah.
But uh-oh. I think it was Jamie Foxx. Is that what we have? Is that what we're going with now?
Solana, I mean, he wanted his nickel back. He's calling you out. He's saying he might not ever come on the show again.
I mean, you don't like a little Kanye West, slow jams, Jamie Foxx, T-Pain, Brady?
No, this is the afternoon. We need a pick-me-up. This is the 2 o'clock hour on the East Coast. People need a pick-me-up right now. Come on now. That's a very, very, green, like young to this whole business move. You got to play something with a little more beat, a little more something to it.
Exactly. Teach him how it is, Brady. And Brady, obviously, because he works for large networks. I mean, he works with, producers that have some experience and cachet. So don't dismiss him. I see the way you're dismissing him back there, Alejandro. Don't dismiss him like that.
I mean, Nickelback, Brady. Really? Like Nickelback? Okay.
There you go.
Okay,
wow.
Brady.
There's. Hey, you heard. There's history there. I don't know if you hung out with Kanye, all right? But when you hang out with Nickelback, you try to support the band.
He didn't hang out with Kanye,
that's
Brady.
Right.
Trust me.
And trust me, the parties with Nickelback and Brady Quinn were better than any party you've ever been to, Solana, even in your head. The greatest party you think you've been to is not as good as a Brady Quinn Nickelback party back in the day. Tell them, Brady Quinn.
There's good parties. A lot of really good hair. Really good hair at this party.
Yeah, I guess you've never been through Kendall, Florida, Brady.
Nobody wants to go there.
He parties at the Dadeland Mall.
I think I drove through there once or twice.
You probably drove real fast.
Let's start with the Hurricanes. Brady Quinn is with us. Now, most of us thought it was going to be like a two-man battle between Tate Martell and Nakosi Perry for the starting QB position. And then it turns out Jaren Williams gets the job. Are you surprised when you heard that yesterday?
I went to practice the other week, and I thought this was going to go one of two ways. Based on what I saw in the one practice that I was there, you really did come away saying Jaren Williams is the most talented passer. And given how young he is, there's that thought that if no one's separating themselves, then go with the younger guy because he's going to have more of an opportunity to build. And I think he does have a lot of the raw tools you look for in a quarterback to be able to, take those next steps. And it may not be this year, but I think this team's good enough they could still get to the ACC championship game even if he's not playing, his best or up to where I think he's going to be capable of a year or two down the road. But he definitely came off as the most natural best passer with a lot of upside. But I really felt like because this team's in a position with their schedule and with that defense, how good it looked, I really felt like Nkosi was going to end up being the guy to start the season. Then if things didn't go well offensively, then maybe they'd go to Jaren Williams. But, you know, just from watching Tay Martell, and I don't really feel for the young man. He struggled that particular day. And I think, obviously, some of the things that have followed him from Ohio State, the issues with him being able to be an accurate passer and him being able to adapt to an offense, kind of displayed themselves.
You talk about Tate, Brady. He transferred from Ohio State when Justin Fields transferred from Georgia to go up there. You know, I don't want to say run from the competition, but he saw the writing on the wall, and now he loses that quarterback battle, and he's a backup again. Should he transfer again? The transfer portal's there, Brady. Like, what does Tate Martell do from here moving forward? Just back up Jaren? Like, what should be his next step?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't even know if he's going to be backing up Jaren. You know, he might be third string. And again, you know, I think anytime a quarterback transfers, you got to, you know, deal with a new system, adapt to a new culture, start over again. It's incredibly difficult to do. And so he could potentially go that route. I think it, again, I don't know that it would serve him well. If he wants to play, that's probably going to be his best opportunity, unless, you know, either Jaren plays bad and Nkosi doesn't play as well, or some, you know, both guys get injured, something like that. But again, just looking at the situation, he may have been better off staying at Ohio State, considering he had some built-in equity. And that's one thing that kind of bothers me, you know, just from, you know, again, and I played a lot in college, so I can't relate as much, but Matt Castle was a quarterback who I got close to playing in the NFL, and he didn't play at all in college. And he's had an incredibly successful NFL career, played a long time, has been to a Pro Bowl. So, you know, I think these young kids now, they're, you know, unfortunately always looking for an opportunity, and they're not patient enough to let themselves develop and maybe, you know, stick with their first decision with where they decided to go play football. And I don't think it's going to be, you know, impact college football as much as people think in future years. But I think some of these kids, when adversity strikes, they look to run. They really just need to look at trying to stay where they're at, continue to build, waiting for that opportunity.
And Brady, you walked straight into Notre Dame starting. Like Jaren, you know, he was here a year but didn't get any playing time last year. What's going to be his biggest challenge? Because they're going to prepare him. Now he has, you know, a week and a half to get ready for the game. We know they're trying to prepare him. But then when he steps on that field against Florida, the only game on, you know, the 24th that night, like, what's his biggest challenge? Because you went through that your freshman year.
Yeah, speed. I mean, it's going to be the speed of the Gator defense. It's going to be the speed of, you know, that particular, you know, game, how fast this game's going to move for him now. And I don't know how you felt playing in, you know, first games of the season, but they were the worst to me. I hated the opening games. You never knew where you're going to get from the defense. I'm sure defensively, Channing, you felt the same from the offense. There was going to be something that you had to prepare for, I hadn't seen, and then you got to just make adjustments on the sidelines and figure it out, right? And so those are the things that I think are going to be toughest for him, is dealing with the speed of that game, the intensity of that, and then also, you know, the adjustments that they're going to have to make throughout the course of the game, because you're always going to get a curveball anytime you're playing your opening game of the season.
Brady Quinn is with us. You know, it's not just an opening game, though. It is national TV, only game on. It's a rival, Florida. I mean, that's a huge stage. Do you remember what your opener was when you were a freshman? Was it a cupcake, or was it like a legit competition?
No, it was a good team. It was Washington State my freshman year. They're actually a top 25 ranked team then, and they were coming to Notre Dame. And I didn't start. I got in later on in the game for a pivotal drive. We actually ended up driving down the field, scoring a touchdown to take the game into overtime. I didn't throw one pass the entire drive. Literally, I go in the game. We have like four successful run plays. We're on like third and short, and so I used the hard count. We had a little quick play action pass and a quick throw to the flat. And so we use a hard count, snap the ball, go back, hit the guy in the flat. They blow the whistle. We got one of their guys to jump offside, so we got the automatic first down. And then the next play, I believe it was Julius Jones at the time, I think ran in for the score that helped, you know, put us into overtime and get the win. But I remember this. Everything I had been coached and taught and kind of worked on, the crowd, the 80,000 people there, all that kind of went to the wayside. Now I was able to kind of focus and dial in, even though I was just handing the football off. I did have to make a couple checks, but that's what Jaren's going to have to really, like, you know, basically do, is just revert back to his greatest form of training right now and not buy into the hype. Don't buy into the rivalry game, all that kind of stuff. Like that's all real. It's all there, but that's not part of his job or what he has to do in order for them to win.
And you're talking about the cupcakes Hawk called it, the warm-up games I called. I think it's incredibly smart to schedule an Arkansas State or a Murray State first, because you get your guys, like you're saying, Brady, that first game is the toughest to get used to the speed, you know, saying used to the emotion and all that stuff. So you schedule a cupcake. UF is known for it, and we're proud of it. Do you have a problem with those cupcake games?
But make it clear that this opener is not against a cupcake. Don't say UF is known for it when you know they're opening against Miami. I won't allow that, Brady.
That spread looks pretty big to me last time I checked.
Knock it off. Need I remind you the last time Notre Dame stepped up against the University of Miami?
How's Wisconsin doing, by the way? Are they still running the ball down your guys' throat? Is that last year? How many years in a row, how many bowl games in a row have they done that?
You're going to shoot me in my pinky toe.
Della Reese. But the warm-up game, Brady, like a lot of people have a problem with that, or they're critical of that. I have no problem with teams doing that.
Well, the SEC gets away with it, or Florida gets away with it, because the conference is viewed as, you know, one of the best. I wouldn't say it is anymore. I think it's probably second to the Big Ten right now, at least as far as depth and overall teams that are ranked in the top 25. And, you know, the polls would tell you that. But I would rather them schedule it earlier in the year than I would them scheduling it later in the year. You know, I think when you look at sometimes, you know, teams like Alabama or LSU or whoever else you want to throw in the conversation, Auburn, for example, because traditionally I think Alabama and Auburn end up playing a cupcake the week before the Iron Bowl. And it's like, I couldn't imagine growing up as a kid from Columbus, Ohio, watching either Ohio State or Michigan have a cupcake game the week before they've got to play each other. Like, that's just that to me is wrong. Look, if we want to be honest about how we want to go about picking the top four teams, or even if it expands to eight teams, let's be real. Every single team, if they're in a Power Five and they want to play a non-conference game, they need to play other Power Five opponents. Like, I'm sorry, like you shouldn't be able to have a level, you know, basis of comparison if you're not playing tougher non-conference games. And there's a lot of leagues that only play eight conference games instead of nine. There's some that play nine. And the crazy stat is, you can go back to 2000. You're not going to find a team that's won a national championship that's played more than eight conference games. They haven't. That additional game ends up being wearing. So, you know, because of that, look, I'd love to see more uniformity across all Power Five conferences to schedule legit non-conference opponents that are from other Power Five conferences, and then to have nine conference games. It's only fair that it's more of a level playing field, I think, amongst all the Power Five teams.
Brady Quinn is with us. Let me transition over to the NFL here before we run out of time with you. You watch the Dolphins. You live down here. You saw Josh Rosen Thursday night, preseason game number one. You have any thoughts?
No, just because I think anything we're seeing from him is kind of the beginning. It's almost like he's starting over, like when he was with the Cardinals and he started his first preseason game. You know, I really do think he'll continue to build from where he's at. You know, they're gonna need to take a look at him. You can't give up a second round pick and then keep him on the bench if Ryan Fitzpatrick plays, even if he plays well enough, because you want to see what you have in him before you address next year's draft. There's a lot of quarterbacks who are going to be coming out that people are going to be talking about, whether it's Tua Tagovailoa or Justin Herbert, just to name a couple. There's other guys going to be draft eligible. And, look, to be quite honest with you, you know, there's going to be guys we don't know about that end up popping up, right? No one knew Kyler Murray was going to be the number one overall pick in this past year's draft, or even Baker Mayfield, you know, a couple years ago. People didn't know they were going to be the number one guy. So, you know, there's going to be some guys that we don't know about that we're going to hear about that the Dolphins are going to want to look at. And I think if you're going to spend a first-round pick, if you're going that route, you know, you better know what you have on your roster and Rosen. And you don't just waste a second-round pick for nothing. So, you know, again, I'm not looking for a ton out of these guys in preseason, because if I'm Chad O'Shea, their OC, I'm not showing a whole lot. Like, I've got the advantage of being a guy who comes from New England, so people have an idea of what I'm going to do. But don't make that mistake. I played for an offensive coordinator where, man, we looked all right in preseason, and then we got out there week one, and people are like, you guys are running the same stuff you were running in week two, three, and four of the preseason. Like, what's wrong with you guys? So, honestly, as long as guys are healthy, I could care less what they look like in preseason.
And one of the criticisms of Rosen, actually Brady, I saw it, you know, in that first game against Atlanta, he seems to be a half a second too slow on his mental decisions. Like, his decision-making process is just a couple, you know, a half a second, a second too slow. How hard is that for him to speed up at this point in his life?
I mean, to me, that wasn't something I saw last year from him in Arizona, and I think he just had a better grip on the offense. I mean, that's what that's about. You know, when you're unsure of things, you're gonna maybe think a little bit instead of just going out there and playing. And that half second is really what it looks like. So there's a little bit of a delay, or maybe there's an extra hitch in the pocket because he's not quite sure what the guy's going to be. So, again, we want to see results right away. But, you know, developing the chemistry that you need to at the NFL level, I mean, it takes time. I mean, you're throwing the ball long before these guys are out of the cuts or long before these guys are actually in those windows. And so it's difficult to get, you know, feel good about throwing some of those footballs unless you really have a lot of confidence that receiver is going to be where you think he's going to be. So, again, it's just going to be a work in progress, I think, until we start to see him play in some regular season games. And then even then, you know, it's still going to be a work in progress until he really starts to get his feet underneath himself and feel comfortable in the system.
Brady Quinn, quickly before we run out here, Kyler Murray, you mentioned Arizona. We watched Kyler Murray. I hadn't really seen him against standing near NFL players. And we watched him run out of the tunnel. And it looked like, you know, they do like with soccer teams, they have a kid run out with whoever's playing on a national soccer team. Like, it was staggering to me just how little he is. Is he going to make it in the NFL?
I don't know. That's such a good question, and it's a tough one to answer because I think he's elusive enough to avoid a lot of the big hits. But, I mean, eventually someone's going to find a way to get a hit on him. And he's going to have a hard time finding passing lanes. You know, that's going to be an issue. So, look, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be one of the most fun teams to watch this year because I have no idea what to expect. And they could get off to a hot start and fizzle out, or they might, it could be a disaster. I mean, honestly, who really knows? I do know this. If he does get hurt, I mean, this entire idea of, you know, hiring Cliff Kingsbury and drafting Kyler Murray to run the specific system, like, all that goes out the window. So it's going to be fascinating to see if he can stay healthy because – their entire season is weighing on that.
Brady, the Cowboys offered Dak Prescott $30 million a year. He said he wants $40 million. Is he worth that much money, or is he a product of a system with a great running back and an awesome offensive line?
Well, first off, I'm hearing reports that the actual Dallas Cowboys are the ones that put out there, leaked out there that he asked for $40 million. And they're trying to get the media and the fans on the side of the team and saying that Dak and his agent are being greedy. So this is part of the behind-the-scenes stuff that I love in negotiations because it's kind of brilliant on the Cowboys' part. But as far as what his worth is, look, if he's a franchise quarterback, then, yeah, he's worth whatever the next guy up is going to make, and people will take contests with that. But the bottom line is that's just how economics work in the NFL. If you've got a need, right, if you need to go get some gas might be more expensive tomorrow than it is today, but you're still going out there and buying it. I mean, that's how it works for an NFL franchise. So, if, you know, I think he's done enough to make a strong case for why he should be paid, you know, somewhere in the $30 million mark. And it'll be interesting to see how they proceed with it because there's a lot of things that kind of stand in the way of that particular deal getting done.
But, Bray, when you watch him play, you see a top five because he'll be paid top five. You see a top five quarterback. I see a guy that lives off play action and just eats off the run game and bringing eight in the box.
Well, look, that may be the case, and maybe, look, if Zeke sits out the entire year, maybe we'll have the case to prove to you otherwise. But, you know, the game of football and playing and performance versus the economics of it and how this all works, they're two different things. And so, again, you know, one stat I'll go back on and say, and you can look it up, go look at how many fourth-quarter comebacks, game-winning drives he's had in his career. He's had a lot, man. And so those are situations when it's not an eight-man box. It's a two-minute drive. And he's got to lead his team down the field to win, and he's done that. So there's a lot of things you can look at stat-wise and to make a case for him. And there's some times where, you know, if we pick between him and Carson Wentz, I pick Carson Wentz because I think Carson Wentz has a higher ceiling than Dak does. But all that being said, Dak's been really successful against Carson head-to-head, and, you know, he's been healthier and he's had a ton of wins. So, you know, there's something to be said for that. I think people need to stop getting upset about what that number looks like because as the salary cap goes up, these numbers are going to get astronomical in the ensuing years.
Brady Quinn, Fast Times at Ridgemont High was released today in 1982. I know you weren't born. You seen that movie, and does it hold up?
What do you got in that bag, Mitch? Was that a sixer? What do you got in there, man?
That's not Fast Times at Ridgemont High, is it?
That's not Fast Times?
I don't think so.
I didn't watch it.
I think you're thinking of like Clerks or something.
No, that's not Clerks. That's definitely not.
That's not Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Do you pretty remember?
Sure. Yeah, I know that movie line by line.
I'm
pretty
sure.
Born.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so. Somebody text in.
It was in Fast Times at Ridgemont
67974. Maybe you're right. You're talking about like the when he's wearing the Vans and he's got the bag of weed.
Bag of what? Bag of what?
No, I think he was referring to like a six pack of beer at the time, Ark.
Say it again. Give me the line.
I think he said, well, what he got in that bag, man? Was that a sixer or something like that?
I don't recall that line. There are so many great lines from Fast Times. That is not one of them. I'm going to say that it does not hold up in Brady Quinn's mind because I don't think you can repeat a line from
a young Matthew McConaughey.
No.
What movie are we talking about?
No. Fast Times at Ridgemont High is Phoebe Cates and Sean Penn, Judge Reinhold.
What movie am I thinking of?
Forrest Whitaker.
You're probably thinking of a good movie, Brady.
Don't you dare blaspheme against Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I haven't seen Fast Times in a long time. I'm thinking of something else, yet.
Kenny Rogers Roasters. Remember the old restaurant, Kenny Rogers Roasters?
Oh, yeah.
Banger?
Why don't they bring that back?
Right? That place was a banger, right? That place was a banger?
Oh, there were ribs there.
Yeah.
Ribs were so good.
Talk about it.
But Brady, we found out yesterday.
Banger, yeah.
We found out yesterday they sold 156 franchises for $1 million. It couldn't be that much of a banger.
Yeah, well, they went out of business. I mean, it doesn't mean the food was bad. It was
Channing, you got to try it before you knock it, man.
Right.
I don't know what was wrong with their business plan, but that was some good food.
Yeah, and you know why, Brady? Is the wood that makes it good. Dazed and confused. Everyone is texting in. Dazed and confused. That's what you're thinking
of. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, not Fast Times. All right, Brady Quinn. Thank you, Brady.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Always enjoy talking with him. I could talk to him for an hour there. Brady Quinn, more Hockman and Crowder when we return. Funky Buddha happy hour on the Hockman and Crowder simulcast radio network. That sounds good. This hour has also been brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Went a little long with Brady Quinn, but we had gone a little long with John Clayton. It was a strong hour and doesn't leave us with much time. But that doesn't mean that you didn't get a hearty, chock full of sports and football and movie hour of radio on the simulcast network.
We killed it today.
Killed it.
Oh, yeah.
Killed it today. A ton of people texting in, dazed and confused. We got you. Brady Quinn was dazed and confused. He was not quoting Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is an eminently quotable film.
For who?
The world. I mean, come on.
For middle-aged white dudes, let's be honest.
Brady Quinn liked it. He just said the wrong one.
Yeah, he loved it so much he didn't even know words.
Joe Zagacki liked it.
Middle-aged white dudes.
John Clayton liked it.
Middle-aged.
I don't think he's middle-aged.
Let's leave it at that.
I don't think he's middle-aged.
Middle to upper.
All right, tell everybody what you got to tell them so I can wrap things up here.
Y'all have to get to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. They have it all. I've been going there for 14 years. Someone told me about it 14 years ago, just like I'm telling you about it now. I went over there, and I go back once a week. Guys, you got to get to Delaware. They have it all fresh, delicious. They have chicken, lamb, beef, pork, veal. They have lobster. They have shrimp. They have all the crustaceans. Back in the freezer, they have venison. They have alligator meat. They have frog legs. They have 20 different species of fish locally caught and swimming daily. They have it all. The seasonings, the marinade, the sides are awesome. The conch salad, bean salad, potato salad, macaroni salad. Guys, get to DelawareChicken.com. That's the website, DelawareChicken.com. See the entire menu. Everything I just said is still about 30% of what they have. And when you know exactly what you want, call them in advance at 954-983-6831. That's 954-983-6831. Tell them what you want. Your order's package ready when you get there. They have a great selection. They're going to save you time, and they're going to save you money. Right now, the stuffed crab shells, only $3.99 each. Argentinian red shrimp, only $11.99 a pound. Conch fritters, more conch than fritter. I love them. Four for $2.49. You got to get to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. And lobster season started August 6th, and they have the best prices on that Florida lobster tail. Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market, 441, one block south of Sterling Road. And when y'all get down there, tell them Crowder sent you.
Whew, I am winded from a great radio program. Winded, I tell you. And it's going to be even better tomorrow.
Get a beer?
Yeah, I'll go downstairs and get a beer.
Let's go, man.
It's nice to have a food hall here.
Yeah, I'm down.
No.
You're not invited.
That's going to do it for us. If you missed any of the interviews, John Clayton was excellent. Brady Quinn there, excellent. Joe Zagacki, excellent. Had the time of our lives. Not even going to kid. Had the time of our lives today.
Did we?
All those interviews will be posted on our podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. Just search Hockman and Crowder, subscribe to the podcast, listen to the on-demand stuff, and hey, have the time of your life.
Time of your life.
I don't feel like I'm overselling it. Hey, you'll have the time of your life. It's better than Epcot, I'll tell you that.
Oh, way better than Epcot.
They downstairs.
Should play us at Epcot on a loop.
Food hall downstairs. Better than Epcot. All right.
Our that show's better than Epcot.
Yeah.
What was that noise?
I don't know. Because I was about to say the hell it is, but I didn't. It made no sense in the context of
Bill Russell, number two on that list.
I like when Solana laughs at his. He can't even get through the.
He's damn silly.
All right, peoples, that's going to do it for us. We will speak with you mañana.
What is that, a sixer?
I like to feed off the teat of Tucker Dukes.
I guess you've never been through Kendall, Florida, Brady.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.